Morning Sunday school. I'm going to start right away because I got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. So you need to help me out here. We are about to finish the second chapter of Philippians chapter 2. And we have to remember that the theme of Philippians is, the key verse is Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. There's a song that says, oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Let's go ahead and pray. Brother Ed, if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this
week. Amen. Thank you. All preachers, all teachers will, with their message, always use an illustration to make a clear point of what they're trying to say. And they'll use that illustration and then point you to the Word of God. And they do that so that sometimes we need pictures in our minds to visualize what is being said. And this morning I'm going to use one of those illustrations about, it was about a Wednesday evening before the service started, and there was you know how people always sit on the very back, and there was a group of ladies just talking before the service, and they were saying, sister, she said, what testimony did you hear that made you come to the Lord? And she said, well, I was on the radio and I heard such as the testimony of this person or this. And how did you come to the Lord? And they were talking, well, my neighbor said that her daughter or whatever. And they were, you know, comparing testimonies how they came to the Lord. And there was a lady on the back over there, real happy, kind of reminded me of John, who's a happy smile, just sitting down. And they looked at her and said, and sister, what testimony did you hear that you came, that made you come to the Lord? And the lady with a smile and looked at them and said, I didn't hear of a testimony. Nobody told me of a testimony. I saw a living testimony with my own two eyes. I saw that person go through struggles. That man that would preach to me, that would teach me about God. And I saw him going through trials, and I never saw him waver. And that man was a living testimony, and that's why I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of us that, who influenced us to accept the Lord? What testimony did we see that made us come to know the Lord? When Paul accepted Christ, okay, Paul accepted Christ, and before he became a Christian, he was a very religious person, but didn't know the Lord. Isn't that amazing that people can read the Bibles but not know the Lord? And so, Paul, when he saw Stephen that was getting martyred for the faith, Paul, for the first time, saw Jesus in that person. And when Stephen was being stoned, and Stephen with a smile said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And that impacted him. And then he's on his way to Damascus to get rid of the Christians. And all of a sudden he meets that Jesus that he saw in Stephen. And from that point, the life of Paul changed for the good forever. When you and I accepted Christ, our lives changed for the better. And so Paul would put Jesus as number one. As soon as he would get up, Jesus was in the center of his heart. And whatever he would do, whatever decisions he had to make, Paul did not take a step before putting it in the hands of the Lord. Do we do the same? Okay. And so, when we go to Philippians 2:19-30, and I'm going to read it and then come back. It says, and again, look at what Paul is saying. But I trust in who? In Jesus. Every decision that Paul would make would be Jesus. When we wake up in the morning, do you wake up thanking God? Is he in your lips, in your mind, in your heart? When you wake up, do you give thanks to him? Or do we I need to do this, I need to do that. And we forget that the first person that we should thank as Christians is Christ. And Paul had that. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send. He had a decision to make. Remember, Paul was in Rome in prison. Now, he had certain liberty to walk around the palace, but he had a big old chain with a big old ball. He had to walk around. It wasn't all that good, but he had some freedom. People can come and visit him, and he can talk to them. And so he's in there, and he was thinking, as he's in prison, remember, Rome from Philippi or Philippians was 800 miles away from each other. And 10 years had passed by since Paul had founded the Philippian church. And so now, Paul, when he left a good testimony, the people, isn't that something when a preacher not only preaches the word of God, but is a living example to the congregation? And so Paul was a living example. And so when he is in prison, did you know that the Philippians church was the first, and some others would help, but the Philippians church were the one that supported financially Paul all through his life. When he was in Corinthians, they would send offerings to him. When he was in Rome, they would send money. Again, you and I cannot go to Africa, or at least we can. But how do we support our missionaries? By giving our offerings, and then we send them down there, and they do the work that you and I cannot do. Okay? So Paul here uses two notable examples. And one of them is Timothy. And the other one is, let me see if I can say it, okay? Is Epaphroditus. Thank you. Now, Epaphroditus was not of a good speech. He was tall and kind of clumsy, okay? But when he accepted the Lord, he was on fire for the Lord. And he was a member from Philippi, okay, from the church. And so people liked him, and he wasn't married. The Bible doesn't say much about him, but When Paul was in Rome, they sent an offering to go help Paul. Now, Paul couldn't get out of prison, but whatever he needed with the money that Epaphroditus had been sent with, he would go, and then, Paul, what do you need? And they would say, well, I need this or that, and he would go to the store and buy and provide for him. And so Timothy, on the other hand, was a young preacher that was trained by Paul. And so he uses those two as an example. One was older and not educated. The other one was young, and he was pretty well educated. And so he says when he was in prison, he was going to send Timothy to the church to let them know what was going on with him in Rome, and encouraging them, saying, "I'm okay, I wanted to send Timothy to see how you guys are doing, so that when he comes back, he's going to give me a report of what's going on over there." But something happened. As he was going to send Timothy, Epaphroditus got real sick, that he almost died. The Bible doesn't say what, if he had COVID, but he was about to die, okay? And the church loved him. Somehow the church found out that he was about to die. And it's not like today we have the phone, we have the computers, and we get and we find out what's going on. No. Over there, I mean, from Philippians, from Philippi, all the way to Rome, to get to Rome, you would have to, and back there they had, did you know they had Mustangs? Yes. Real Mustangs. They would, you know how like Wells Fargo has that stagecoach, and they would put about four horses in front of them, and they would get in them and send the mail, and they go through the mountains and all that. They had to go through Thessalonians, and then they had to go to Athens and Corinthians, and from there they would get a ship and sail. That's what you call aerodynamic, where you have boats with sailboats, and some had rows that they would row it, but that's how they would get. And it would take at least 30, a whole month, just to get from to travel 800 miles, because it wasn't like today that we're talking about Lloyd got on a plane and time she's over there. But so when Paul is going to send Timothy, he gets sick, and the people find out, and this is what's happened. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state or your condition." Okay? "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." And then it says, see, he was going to send him. He was about to send him, but then when... because he was a good example, and he was remember the second chapter of Philippians is rejoice in serving the Lord, and these two men, he saw them how they would serve the Lord, so he puts them as examples, and so he was going to send him over there, and he says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ, which are Jesus Christ." Okay, this is what was happening. The church in 10 years started to waver a little. They were saved, but you know what? It's like when John says in Revelations, "I have one thing against you. Thou hast left thy first love." They were Christians, but they had kind of, with the years, kind of like wavered a little, and they weren't as active as they should have been. And so it's like there's this man that had a little business, and his business was selling insurance, and he had about eight employees, and he was always selling insurance. And one day he said, "You know what? I'm going to have to take a journey. I have to go travel to a certain country. I'll be back. It's going to take a while, so I want you guys to sell insurance." And he had trained them good. And so he left. And then they were looking at each other and said, "You know what?" They started selling insurance. All of a sudden said, "You know what? Our boss works too hard. And look at his desk. It's like Brother Enoch's. It's a mess." Right? I don't know about you, my desk's always a mess, and I try to fix it, but it's a mess. And so they said, "You know what? We are going to straighten his desk." So they go out there, straighten the desk and all that. And the other one said, "Well, you know what? Those couches look kind of a messy." So they started cleaning the house and all that. "You know what? I'm going to use a vacuum cleaner," and the vacuum cleaner was a broom. Okay? And they started cleaning the house. And then one said, "You know what? The yard looks kind of dirty." And so they started raking the yard and painting the fence that was out there. And it looked pretty good. And then after a while, they said, "Well, you know what? Our boss has gone, and I have some stuff to do at the house. My boss is not here, so I'm going to go and just work on the house." The other one said, "Well, you know what? My car needs some fixing, so I'm going to work on my car." And they did all that, and with time, the boss came back. And they were all excited and said, look what we did. So the boss is walking, and he looks at the front of his office, and everything's nice and clean. The flowers are watered, and he opens the door. Okay, and inside everything's cleaned. "Oh yeah, we did it. Look at the yard. We did this and we did that." And he was all excited and said, "Thank you for doing all this for me." And he says, "But did you sell insurance?" "Oh, they forgot." You know what? There's nothing wrong. And we always, I believe in a church being clean inside and outside. But when we forget to sell insurance, when we forget to go out witnessing for Christ, something's wrong. When we forget to pick up the phone and invite somebody or encourage somebody, yes, there's nothing wrong with having fellowship, but our job is to sell insurance, to talk about God. And this is what was happening in the church. It was getting cold, so he says, "I'm going to send Timothy," because Timothy was kind of a timid guy, but he was very frank, and people can tell that he was a Christian just by looking. By the way, isn't that amazing? People can say that you're a Christian just by the way you speak, by the way you do things. People can notice that. And I say, "Lord, forgive me when I don't shine for you. Help us to shine." So Timothy was going to be sent, but Paul said, "But right now, it's more convenient for me to keep Timothy with me, and because Epaphroditus was real sick, and so he said, I want he got better, and then he said." He said, "I want to send you Epaphroditus because I know that you're concerned. People over there think that you're dead, and you're not. So I'm going to send you over there to Philippi and so that they can get encouraged." And then he loved the church members over there, so he wanted to go see them. He had that burden, and he said, "You know what? I feel bad because I got sick." And he was always thinking of others instead of himself. And so he says, "I am burdened because my brothers over there think that I'm dead or that I'm not well. And I'm already well. So Paul said, I'm going to send you as an example. Okay, so he says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. See, he was on fire for the Lord. This is what the Lord wants us to do, to rejoice always in the Lord. Okay, and he says, him therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He didn't know how long he was going to stay. He's in prison. And he said, as soon as I find out what's going to go on, I'll send him to you and give you the news of when I am going to be released. I hope that when they release me, I can go see you. So he says, But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. See, as soon as they let me know, and I'll go and visit you again. And so he said, yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, brother, he said, my brother and companion in labor and fellowships. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministers to my wants. Okay, remember he's the one that is traveling back and forth and all that. And it wasn't like now that you can come and go. So he probably stayed there about a few months and then come on back and travel again that same route. But he said, you have given me offerings through him, and he's the one that's ministering to me. He was a great servant, and he would do it with joy. Okay, Timothy found out that Paul was over there, so since Epaphroditus, am I saying it right? Epaphroditus already knew Timothy from when Paul went down there, so they met over there and they had a good conversation and they got along together and they would work to help Paul. And as they were there, they were ministering around Rome to others. Okay, they never stopped working. And so, by the way, it's weird because Epaphroditus, it means agreeable and handsome. And Epaphroditus wasn't a handsome person. He was kind of clumsy, goofy, but he had a servant heart. Okay, so for he says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. See, Paul was saying, I have sorrow that I am here for something that I didn't do wrong. And then there's this gentleman that came all the way 800 miles to help me, and in trying to do that in serving me, he's gotten sick. And now I am not only in this chains, but if he dies, I'm going to have sorrow upon sorrow. Because I don't want him to die, but when he recovered, that encouraged Paul. So he says, For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. See, you and I, we give our tithes and offerings, right? And we send them to the missionaries. And in us doing that, we are supplying for them. And he was the one that was being used, and now it's time he's longing to come back to the church and see the brothers and sisters. And they were willing, they were glad to see him. So when he arrived, can you imagine when you have a brother or sister that leaves here and then comes back? And we hug them and we say, good to see you again. So that encouraged them. That encouraged them to see him, and for them to see them again, it was a joy for them. Now, remember in Ephesians chapter 1, it's suffering with joy for the Lord. And Paul did that. He suffered, but we should always put the Lord first. And in chapter 2, it's all about service. How are we serving the Lord here at the local church? Are we serving the Lord with joy? It's amazing when we come and I was looking at the sheet that you wrote. There's many ways that you and I could serve the Lord here at Harvest Baptist. Outside, inside, calling. And when we do it, Robert does his job, does a great job. He does it with joy. When Sam's up there hours and hours, the choir singing and all that, it takes a lot of hours, but you know what? They do it with joy. They do it for the Lord. And this is what he was trying to say. So he puts those two men as an examples. Who can we put as examples here? Or in your lives that you can say, you know what? I thank God that that man, that woman, she encourages me. My wife encourages me. She's an example. Okay? And I can say, not boasting, but I before the Lord, I can say, I am example to my wife. I am an example to my children. They might not do what they need to do, but they know that in my house there's things that I don't do, and they come to my house and they respect my house because they've seen my wife's testimony and my testimony of how we were and how we are now. That should encourage us. So as we go through the lesson of this is what it was talking about. So he set those two examples for us. And this is where we're going to start. This is lesson 7. And we are going to go into chapter 3. And the theme on that chapter is going to be, hold on. The theme on that chapter, I can't find it, is going to be first, is joy in believing, okay? Do we have joy in believing what the Lord has done in our lives? So chapter 1 is all about joy in suffering. Chapter 2, joy in serving, and joy in believing. Because when you believed, there was a change in your life. Believing is a word of action. I can say, yes, I believe. The devil believes and trembles, but he keeps on going the wrong way. But when I believe, when you and I believed by faith, it was a word of action where we were going that way. And you know what? I believe that I'm going the wrong way, so I started going that way. And so believe there's joy in believing because it changes people's lives. So we'll be talking about joy in believing next week. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Daryl, would you like to dismiss us?